The Astros shut out the White Sox 3-0 to get back to their winning ways. Brad Peacock, Chris Devinsky, Will Harris, Ryan Presley, and Roberto Osuna combine on the shutout.
24,364 tonight. Pop up. Jake Mariznick puts it away. Roberto Osuna has joined Brad Lidge in the record books. A franchise record 24 saves in a row. Osuna has done it at the start of his Astros career.
24 saves in a row. So tying that record, as you hear from Todd Kalas, Ryan Presley earlier, 40 straight scoreless appearances. This team's 8-9 combination has been absolutely tremendous so far this season.
If the Astros were a female celebrity, which one would they be? Which woman out there currently has the best booty? Because the 7-8-9 in the rotation and then the bullpen have just been spectacular. So everything about the 7-8-9 offensively and defensively, the back end is just...
Right.
Now, a lot of people would say Kim Kardashian.
That was the first one I came
to mind. Personally, I can't go with an augmented booty and say that that's like the best one out there. Yeah.
You want natural.
Yeah.
Paul? Best one right now.
Paul, well, you're the go-to expert on this.
Jessica Biel, Ava Mendez, Kate Hudson is doing well in that department.
Kate Hudson? Are you crazy?
You're not qualified in this conversation. Beyonce is still doing it pretty well.
Beyonce, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So those are a few. I mean, I just went to Google and these
kinda,
are the first few
I feel kind
of
sexist. Google who's got the, which male celebrity has the best butt. It's just like, what are the ladies
saying? Sofia Vergara.
That's a woman.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't.
You're
care.
Not googling the male. Oh God. What are you? Too insecure to find out.
No.
What
Google I mean, I have a great ass, and I know that.
You're
that's
not,
the only, that's
not
the only ass
on
that matters.
Okay. Here we go. The best male.
Yeah, you don't know that.
Let's see the 51 best male butts. We've got Angelo Blackson, DJ Reader, and then
I've got Cam Merchant, Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, I don't like this. Okay,
Michael
all right. I don't like that Google search. I take it all back. I'm getting images up here.
That was the path
I wasn't
you took us down.
To see this,
Justin Trudeau.
I stumbled into the wrong category.
John Hamm. That's what I'm getting on my Google.
Wait a
search.
Second. Did they say Thor there? What's his name? Liam. What's Thor's name?
You're talking to the wrong guy. Thor.
Cleam Hemsworth.
Cleam Hemsworth.
I didn't know he played.
So
Thor.
Anyway, that's what they'd be. They'd be Beyonce. Let's stick with that.
This is the one part of this team, other than health, that I would love to take into the postseason, because when you have a lockdown combination on the back end, you can make these games a lot shorter than they actually are. You can turn a 9-inning game into 7 innings or 6 innings, especially because in the postseason, not that you necessarily want to do this, but you can throw out Ryan Presley for more than 3 outs.
Yeah.
And with as dominant as he has been, and he has been one of the dominant pitchers in Major League Baseball, period, so far this season.
Just looking at
what's
the
going
text
on
line now. I'm not even gonna bring Kate Upton into this conversation out of respect to Justin Verlander, everybody. So no matter how many people text in, I wasn't gonna make Kate Upton the I wasn't gonna say that the Astros are the Kate Upton of bullpen and back end of the lineup. Our bullpen is the Brad Cooper of male ass. All right. J-Lo is still doing it.
Yeah, she's still crushing
J-Lo's it. J-Lo's like 50, right?
Mm-hmm.
I saw a picture of her in the grocery store the other day. She was she had her midriff bare. She did not look 50. Good job, Astros. You're as good as J-Lo.
This is a 4-game series, so they're back at it tonight with Justin Verlander on the mound. Next headline, for the 5th straight year, the Golden State Warriors are going to the NBA Finals.
Curry trying to find an opening. Finds Draymond Green up top to Looney. 5 to shoot. Back to Curry. Draymond Green tries a 3. It's good! Draymond Green drills the 3. And Golden State goes up by 4. Timeout Portland.
Kind of like that 3 he hit at the end of Game 5 against the Rockets. That was the dagger in overtime. The Warriors go on to win 119-117. Now they've got over a week plus off before the NBA Finals begin on May 31st. Is this team on the verge of staking a claim as one of the greatest teams in the history of the NBA?
We're not there already?
Right, yeah, I think they already are, right? That was like yesterday when you came in and said, listen, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this. The NBA is more interesting without Kevin Durant playing for the Warriors. It's like, oh, wow.
Well,
hold on. Let me argue you about that, Mike. So, okay, yeah, this is already one of the greatest teams ever. Now, they're the first team to go to 5 straight finals since the Boston Celtics back in the Bill Russell days.
Yes.
So, yeah, they're already They're already there.
I don't think a team has won 4 championships in 5 years since the Russell Celtics. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong about that, because usually you have a bunch of, you know, three-peats and, you know, what the Bulls did, what the Lakers have done, some of these teams. But to win 4, if they do it, they still have to do it. If you win 4 titles in 5 years, they would have been one game short, a couple of points shy of winning 5 titles in a row. This is like top 2 or 3 teams of all time kind of stuff here.
They were a bogus ejection away from history. Yeah. I mean, with Draymond Green getting suspended for the incident with LeBron James in those finals, which they blew the 3-1 lead to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, yeah, I mean, if they're not there already, I you're just a hater, right? I mean,
in free agency and salary cap era where it seems almost impossible to have a dynasty like this, they've pulled it off. I want to say it's harder to have a dynasty than back in the Bill Russell. I pretend like I was watching basketball back then.
It's harder.
But yeah, in a lot of respects it is. So for them to pull this off, and that's all, remember that I feel like Chris Paul and the Players Association are still getting off the hook for allowing this to happen. When the salary cap expanded so rapidly and the players could have worked with the owners to gradually ramp it up, they wanted no part of that. They just opened the door and let Kevin Durant onto the Warriors. So there you go. Thanks a lot, Chris Paul.
The XFL is coming to Houston. The team formally announced the hiring of June Jones as coach and GM Monday morning.
This game is going to be a faster-paced game. It's going to be a wide-open game. And I think that the XFL gets it, that offense sells tickets, you know, and we're going to have, a good following here in this town just because it's Houston.
All right, so 4 home games starting next February. This is after the Super Bowl. June Jones mentions a good following. How good do you guys expect the following to be in February when this thing gets going?
Depends, I think, on just how this football season goes for the Houston Texans. I think if it is a season where it's a long one, that there might be more of an appetite to watch a different version of football. But if the Texans do well, if the Texans have a similar season to this past season, I'm not sure that the interest is going to be that much. There will be curiosity in February. It's about keeping the curiosity going forward, much like the AAF was unable to do.
Over the course of 3 seasons, the Houston Gamblers averaged 18,900 fans per game, and that was with marquee players like Jim Kelly and others. So I don't know what the prediction would be in terms of fan size.
Fans, yeah.
Yeah, the first 2 years were higher than that, too. They were getting more than 20,000. The third year was such a lame duck season that everything was just a mess. So, let's see. I'm going to predict an average attendance of 20,000.
20,000.
Is that good? That feels that's a pretty good showing at that stadium.
I think it's pretty good. Yeah. We're playing where U of H plays.
20,000 is pretty aggressive. Because you're not going to have, this league's not going to have the Herschel Walkers, Jim Kellys, the Steve Youngs.
In between 15 and 20.
Okay.
Somewhere in that range.
Yeah, let me tamp that down to 15,000.
What I do like, what they have going for them is, again, only 4 home games. It's not like they're in a situation where they got to sell out, 8 or 10 or whatever games.
Yeah.
It's 4 games. That feels over a couple months like you can sell 4. You can sell 4.
You know the weirdest thing about the USFL is I'm looking at these attendance figures. Jacksonville and Tampa both averaged 44,000 and 43,000 fans per game, respectively. These Florida teams, which are so awful in terms of attendance in all sports,
yes,
somehow pulled it off of the USFL. That's why there's a deluge of teams that flooded into there. They're like, wow, look at all this action in Jacksonville. We're going to sell out every game with an NFL team. So,
I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah.
That's a weird one. All right, Bad Radio on a Tuesday.
Probably boosted the figures.
Now, Paul was at this press conference introducing June Jones. Paul, what were your biggest takeaways being there?
Well, one of depression. You know, I've been looking to find myself at the age of 30. I've gone through various routes. I've taken on the keto lifestyle. I have
still going?
Still going on that front.
Excellent.
Took a month off from drinking. I'm trying to find myself, and I did think that one of the ways I'd be able to find myself was XFL stardom. You know, of course, I'm one of the greatest flag football players in the United States of America, as evidenced by a dominant performance on Sunday in 3 games in a row. And I thought to myself, you know, I think that I can make it in the XFL. I've been thinking this for a really long period of time. But, you know, a couple of times we've had Oliver Luck on this very show, and I've asked him about open tryouts, the idea of open tryouts. So I got out there yesterday, and I wanted to find out about open tryouts and if they actually might be a possibility.
So we're at this point, we're not having open tryouts because you find you know, 300 or 400 people that show up, and it's just, it's very difficult to organize. And we think we've got a pretty good bead on who the best players are to fill our round about 550-600 person player pool.
Okay, so no hope for above average high school football players that are well past their prime?
I don't think so.
Okay. So I'm depressed. I went home. I stared sullenly into the mirror, looking at myself and realizing the waste of talent that Oliver Luck is just missing out on in the XFL. And I guess I'm just going to have to pursue other dreams. But there's not going to be an open tryout. That was my biggest takeaway.
Yeah.
I actually was curious to see what an open tryout would be like. But they actually do seem to have a pretty solid system in place where they're going to have some current college athletes, and it's not going to, I guess, affect their eligibility in terms of going back to college, in addition to some just other guys that have played college football in the past, played pro football in the past.
Like they, regional combines.
They want to bring in good players.
Yeah.
Are they going to be able to? That's the big question. Are they going to? And really, I think it's all about, can they get guys to come from college actually are good to the pros?
Did he answer any questions about, because they've said that they're still exploring taking guys who aren't eligible for the NFL yet, guys that have only played 1 or 2 years of college football. They haven't changed that policy at all.
No, they haven't. They haven't. And I mean, that's the key.
If they were like, are they gonna grab some All American future pro and say, hey, we'll give you 2 years, we'll give you $1 million. They're not gonna spend that kind of money. That's the thing. Like, they're not. I don't think they're gonna pull any kid that can get a, like, any kid that's a guaranteed first round pick can get an insurance policy and isn't gonna risk that going to the XFL.
But don't they have to? Don't they have to do something the USFL did with those big-time players back in the day?
No, because I don't think they need to make money. I think that if there's one thing that Vince McMahon has going for him now that he didn't back in the early 2000s, he has his own cable network. He has his online streaming platform. Like, he knows how to make money off of things that aren't marquee A1 sports. The USFL's issue was they tried to go too big too fast. I think that the XFL understands, and I think they can make money. Like, think about the things that make money on the weekend on cable television. Like, when you turn on ESPN and there's like a gymnastics meet that has like 1,000 people in a huge arena, that's on for a reason. Like, that's making money. So I think there's a sweet spot there where it doesn't have to be huge marquee names as long as they get a certain amount.
But I think the USFL had any of the pull that it had because they had guys like Herschel Walker and Reggie White and Jim Kelly.
Right, but I'm saying they don't need to have that pull to make money. The USFL got too ambitious too early, and TV money and deals weren't as sophisticated and advanced as they are right now.
Well, that's fair, but I mean, I think they have to still spend that money on a couple of big names. You gotta have some players that are going to draw eyeballs. Johnny Manziel's only going to go so far, you know?
Yeah.
You need some big-time names.
I'm just wondering if it's sustainable. Like, what's the most realistic way for them to get the kind of star players that Paul's talking about that are actually going to draw people to go to the games or eyeballs on television? I mean, I don't know. I just have this feeling like trying to get players from college to declare a year early, not even declare, but just leave and go to the XFL.
Trevor Lawrence. Are you going to get Trevor Lawrence to come and play for 2 years?
It feels like a stretch to me until and unless you have some real sustained success over like 5 years or 8 years. So where those kids know that, hey, I'm going to invest my professional life into this new league and it's going to be there. This is going to be a safe investment for me.
Well, for one, if you look at the AAF, it turns out as people learn more about it, I don't want to call it a loss leader, but more than anything, they wanted to show that this app that they have that could be used for in-game gambling was really the big moneymaker for them, and that somehow it was maybe eventually they were going to get absorbed by the NFL, or that you're going to be able to sell that technology. Whatever it was, they consider themselves a tech company that was using football as a means to the end.
Yes.
The XFL is very much more about the entertainment itself. So, and the other thing, and I don't think you can do this with football, but if you look at what Vince McMahon does for a living, he takes people who aren't stars at all and turns them into megastars. Like, he turns them into gigantic stars, but they're also the best wrestlers in the world, which is different than taking guys who clearly aren't the best football players in the world. I think that Vince McMahon's business model is never going to be, hey, we're going to try to do what everybody else has done and tried to failed and taken on the NFL. It's not going to be that. It's going to be a more meager existence.
I don't think they're going to take on the NFL. I do wonder that. I do wonder if the sports fan calendar has been basically filled up at this point. That's how I feel going through every single year. Like I really wonder after the Super Bowl what the appetite people have for more football. You're used to a certain rhythm to the year. The Super Bowl ends, then there's kind of more of a quiet time. You get more into basketball. The NCAA tournament comes. There's spring training. There's the baseball season.
Are you going to watch? Are you more likely to watch an XFL game or the Watt Brothers tag game?
Definitely the XFL.
Really?
Yes.
You're not going to watch the Watt Brothers? What's it called?
When they're going to have that, the game of tag that we talked about last week. Yeah. Well, here's my problem with the tag
Ultimate
game.
Ultimate tag.
Yeah. Ultimate tag.
I don't know when to turn my... I don't know when that thing is on.
Right,
like,
right.
Am I going to get an alert on my phone?
Well, you'll know. It'll start being destination viewing. It'll be like American Gladiators back in the day. I think you underestimate how many teenage boys want to watch this. You as an adult man would never watch American Gladiators.
Yes.
But as a 13-year-old, in your mind, it's a huge deal. Like, when I was 13 years old, I assumed that these guys on American Gladiators were huge megastars. You get excited about stupid stuff like that.
And if you've ever played Manhunt or any of those games like that.
God, Manhunt's a great game.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, when I was this was in high school, this was in middle school, like we played this for a very long time.
Yeah.
I don't care how old I might have been. Maybe I was too old at a certain point, but it was fun. Especially if you have a really nice neighborhood where there's tons of places to hide.
We used to play Manhunt.
What do you mean, like servants' quarters and stuff? What do you mean a really nice neighborhood?
I mean, like,
you mean like a neighbor, not a nice neighborhood, but like a neighborhood that's like nice for that game.
A neighborhood where you can go in other people's backyards and they don't care.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'd say so some crappy neighborhoods out in the sticks that are awesome for hide and seek and tag because there's like dilapidated old barns, rusty nails.
See, that
boards with rusty
too.
Nails you can throw in front of your opponents, like all kinds of stuff.
We used to play Manhunt at a Citibank where I used to live. It was a lot of fun. I don't even know if it was like an actual Citibank. We just called it Citibank, and it was this office building. So we'd like ride up and down the floors, and there'd be different hiding spots.
Oh, yeah.
It would drive the people crazy.
So you call it Manhunt, but what are you doing to, how are you, it's not tag?
It was basically the same thing. Yeah, it was basically the same thing.
Did you do BB gun fights?
No.
Why not?
We didn't have BB guns.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't have BB guns.
You're not allowed to?
I just never had one.
Kids in your neighborhood didn't have BB guns?
Some did. Paul Signorella did. I did not. He was the sketchy kid that everyone was nervous when you hung out with him.
We do BB guns, but then there was always like somebody that came with like a pump pellet gun, and then you're screwed. That guy, it's like showing up on roids. You got a pump pellet gun. Everybody's fleeing you from you like frightened peasants.
Quick Texans note here, while we have a minute or so. So we're going to be out at OTAs later today and give you all the observations as this is week number one of organized team activities. I helped MC an event last night. It was for the Kareem Jackson Foundation, and Bernard McKinney was headlining it. And my quick analysis, because Jonathan Joseph came out, McKinney was there, obviously, and Whitney Merciless came out. They all looked like they were in excellent shape.
Oh, good. None of them looked fat. What if Jonathan Joseph showed up weighing like 240?
Jonathan Joseph is 35 years old, but he looks like he is in pristine, tip-top condition.
So it was for the Kareem Jackson Foundation, but it was Bernardrick McKinney's event?
He was basically doing some of the speaking.
Like
because
he was kind of like the...
Well, because so Kareem is obviously in Denver for their OTAs.
I like this, though. This is Kareem branching out. This is Kareem kind of like now he's taking an executive role.
I started
hiring people.
I talked to Kareem's wife last night, and I tried to sell her on the idea that the cold weather's not that bad in Denver.
It's not like a damp, humid cold. It's not like a wet cold that chills your bones.
I don't think she was really buying it, but I'm like, trust me. I went to school in Syracuse where it's like real cold. You're going to be fine in Denver. You're going to be okay.
Where's she from?
I don't know. I don't think she's from a place that has a lot of cold weather, though. That's the vibe that I got. Mad Radio on a Tuesday, coming up at the top of the hour, in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll have Trainwreck Tuesday, coming up at 7:45. Is there anything, I mean anything, not just sports, but in life, is there anything that unites Americans more than the NFL? Plus, where does Deshaun Watson stand among all quarterbacks in the league right now? This is Mad Radio.